Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is actually taken live from First United Methodist Church of Newton, and so why don't we listen into that right now?
Our reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves in tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
In the United Methodist Church, holy conferencing focuses on the ability of laity and clergy to come together and discuss and discern vital and sometimes difficult topics guided by the Holy Spirit, which can be a witness to the world. The local church can also engage in holy conferencing through its ministry and decision making. And I think this is an important thing for us to discuss because as United Methodists, we're going into a general conference season. Our last general conference was really upended by this thing called the pandemic in 2020. And so this is our first general conference. We usually have them every 4 years. This is our first one since 2016. So we're well overdue. And one of the topics that is going to be discussed there is the split that is happening in the United Methodist Church, and we know that the split in the United Methodist Church is happening as a result of different stances on human sexuality. And depending on whether you're more conservative or you're more liberal or you're somewhere in between, depends on where people are standing on this issue. And some people feel the need that they're so set on this, whatever side they stand, that they're going to leave the church as a result of it. This isn't the first or the last time that this has happened in the Methodist Church or in the church proper, right? We know that there was a dispute all the way back in Acts where people were really having a problem with the way Paul was doing things. And so they had a conference to hash out that issue. Now, as this plays in the world, unfortunately, we're not always the most graceful in the way we do it. And sometimes we're name-pointing, we're finger-pointing, and then, of course, the media comes in and likes to write their stories because it sells. And oftentimes, it's not filled with the full details of what's going on or why it's going on. So just be aware of that when you start to hear things in the news. Look deeper than just what you're hearing because oftentimes it's missing context and a lot of other things. While there may be nuggets of truth in what you're hearing, it's not really the truth until you understand it in a broader picture. All the same, friends, we live in community. Amen? Now, I want you to understand, when I say amen, I'm not asking if you agree with me. Amen, you can, I hope you do. If you do, you know, who doesn't want to be agreed with, right? Like, but amen actually means so be it, right? So when I say amen with a question mark, I'm like, so be it? So be it. Amen, right? As long as we understand what we're doing, I'm not asking you to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me when you say amen. That's not what you're doing necessarily. But we live in community. Amen? Okay. Life in community presents many challenges. We don't even need to think hard or long on these challenges either. We often need to have tough conversations. Sometimes we just butt heads with others, or relationships just wear on us. Still, we are called to be loving and gracious with one another, because we are called by God through our baptism to be in community. This is one thing that saddens me about the church in particular, though it's not just the church. But the church is supposed to understand this, and yet in the church we find the most flimsy, snowflakey, I don't like that word, but you get what it means, right? Like, people. You just do. Like, you go to a Harry Potter event, people just up and leave, because it's not about the people that you're in relationship with, it's about the Harry Potter event now, darn it, right? And it's sad, because in the church we're supposed to bear with one another. Not always agree with each other, not always get it right, but understand that none of us get it right all the time. And we're supposed to love one another and bear with each other and be in relationship with each other. Running from our problems seldom ever fixes them. And you know what? You run from one church to the next, guess what you're going to find? The exact same thing. That's exactly right. And we all know those church hoppers out there are just never finding a place to land their feet, because there's never a perfect church. And you know what? They're not perfect either. The following that I'm about to share with you is drawn from Means of Grace Christian Conferencing, which is it's from resourceumc.org. I'm not going to keep repeating that every time I quote them, but if you go there, you can see what I'm pulling from and go deeper in it. But it's from Means of Grace Christian Conferencing, which is from resourceumc.org. So, as United Methodists, we are called to participate in Christian Holy Conferencing as a means of grace. For early Methodists, it was about spiritual formation and encouraging one another to follow and serve Jesus. For early Methodists, it was about, again, following and serving Jesus. And Wesley knew a large community was essential to the formation of Christian believers, as well as the smaller groups of class meetings and band meetings. Now, again, Wesley would meet in these smaller groups, and one small group is meeting on this, and another small group is meeting for this reason, another small group is meeting for that reason, but you know what? Sometimes we need all of those groups to just come together. Amen? Because we're not all a bunch of little groups. We're all one body in Christ. And sometimes we need to do things as a larger body together. And so Wesley understood the essential nature of that. Today's holy conferences are not only in small group meetings, but also in larger gatherings where important and sometimes difficult work must be discussed. And any of us who have been to conferences, whether the local church conference or to an annual conference, you know how painful it can get when these things take place. I mean, you can be on an issue you think should be over 50 minutes ago, and you're on hour 2:50. And you're like, when's this going to end? We've already heard your point of view already. Sit down, right? Like, this is sometimes the way we feel about it, but yet this is essential. Bishop Sally Dick states that holy conferencing is not, and I quote, limited to a specific topic or a specific venue for decision-making. It is also not a strategy to shut down conversation or stifle impassioned speech. It is a means for staying connected to each other in spite of our differences. So as painful as it may be, we allow people to express themselves so that everybody can express what they believe and what they feel, and together, whether one person's happy or the other person isn't, we're moving together as a body. Nobody feels like they haven't been heard. Nobody feels like they're lacking, within reason. Obviously, sometimes you can't go on forever. Today's scripture speaks to holy conferencing in the following way. God's grace is offered to who?
Everyone,
right? All. To everyone. And verse 1 reminds us that through Jesus, we are chosen to be a part of the one body of Christ. The one body of Christ. Not the splintered, fragmented body of Christ. What's sad, though, I think we're starting to somewhat get closer to moving beyond it with the World Council of Churches and other things. What's sad is that for so long, the divided splinters of Christ acted as separate bodies, not recognizing the others. God's grace is offered to everyone, and we're chosen to be a part of that body. Verse 13 invites us to bear with one another because we are in mission and ministry together for God's greater good and purpose. And in the scripture, it says this, make allowance, in what we read today, make allowance for each other's faults. Bear with one another. Make allowance for each other's faults. Because we are in mission and ministry together for God's greater good and purpose. Think about the ways in which we have shown grace to the community. We were visible this fall at the Harvest Festival, side by side with the Weekend Bag Program. Speaking of which, the way we've supported the Weekend Bag Program over the years. We've given people a chance to belong in fellowship during our potluck suppers. Hello, Barb. Hello, Kathy. Hello, Susie. Susie's been here for eons anyway, but it's good to see you anyway, Susie. And good to mention Papa. Abby, you're one of them. Hello, Abby. We blessed people with our concerts. And there was a time when this crazy bunch of Christians dressed as Hogwarts choir of singing frogs, when Diagon Alley took over Spring Street several years back. Now, there were some people who didn't want us to be that graceful. They wanted us to avoid Spring Street that day because Harry Potter is some sort of evil, though I'm sure we like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But we went out there. We were visible. And ironically, we invited other Christians to join us who were on a different plane than we were in some ways. But there they were. We have shown much grace to the community over the years. And we're called to be gracious with one another and offer forgiveness. Paul acknowledges, by the way, that there will be strife and difficulty in the community. If anybody knows this, it's Paul. Read the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Read Romans. Read Galatians. Read Philemon, where he's diplomatically telling somebody, why are you owning a slave? Why is this a thing you think is cool? And while this passage may seem idealistic in ways, Paul is actually realistic about the complexity of staying united as a community with diverse perspectives. And as such, we are invited to lead with grace and offer forgiveness. As Christ has forgiven us, so too we are to forgive others. Forgive us this day. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're to clothe ourselves in love. Verse 14 calls us to live the sanctified life, the holy life. And the greatest commandment is to love God with your whole being, but also to love your neighbor with your whole being. Amen?
Amen.
For most of us, unless we get dressed in the dark, we choose what we wear. Anybody get dressed in the dark this morning? Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, obviously it may have been dark out when you got dressed. But none of us got dressed in the dark, right? When you head into difficult conversations, preparing your mind and heart to enter that conversation with love is essential and must be intentional, like choosing your clothing. Now, Wesley led the earliest conferences by asking meaningful questions rather than instructing, preaching, or other more commanding actions. One of the questions he used to ask in his small groups, for instance, just to put this on a smaller scale level, he used to ask this question all the time: how goes it with your soul? Can you imagine if we started our leadership team meetings with that question? How goes it with your soul? First off, by the time we're done with that, we'd make business real short, right? If we started off with that, and we went around and actually listened to each other and prayed with each other, by the way, Wesley was all about punctual meetings, so I'm sure he didn't allow that to go on forever. But if we started with questions like that, think about how different our meetings would be, how different we would lead if it started with care, compassion, empathy. How might this approach be incorporated into our way of living and leading? Friends, love is the purpose of holy conference. Bishop Sally Dick states, and I quote, "The church should be the workshop where we learn those practices that we can then take home, take to work, take to school, take to our communities, and use those practices elsewhere for a better life and a better world." Let me ask you, where is one place you can more fully live out this holy conferencing mindset in your relationships with others? And that's the thing. It's not just about whether we're meeting in big groups or small groups, or we're just having a one-on-one conversation. These are principles that can be applied anywhere at any time. This may be at home, in your family, at school, church committee, baseball field. I know if Fred Monasmith were here, the baseball field would count in this example, because he plays. I want to remind you all of the significance of holy conference and the mindset that accomplishes it for creating new disciples. And in fact, Fred is here. Hi, Fred. Don't want to exclude Fred. So it still counts. But holy conferencing and the mindset it accompanies is significant for creating new disciples. Many people leave the church because of toxic rather than healthy relational practices. And the more we can demonstrate Christ's command to love in all facets of our life together, the more we will become a community that attracts people to Christ and helps new disciples grow in sanctification. Let me tell you this for certain. If the first thing people see when they walk through our doors is how dysfunctional we are, whether that be through complaining, gossiping, or just a general negative demeanor, if that's the first thing people see, it will be the last time they walk through our doors. It's the truth. How many of us go into dysfunctional situations and go, "Woo-hoo, I'm here"? Or do you go, "Friends, remember that the first message in this series on baptism, where I preached next to a raging and cozy fire, all at the same time, online during a winter storm. During baptism, the preacher says to the congregation this, "I commend this person to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love." Friends, as it says on resourceumc.org, we are responsible, and I quote, "We are responsible for each other. We are responsible to make sure that we are going to give you everything you need to keep the promises you made when you were baptized or confirmed." That is the goal of Christian Conference. How can we as a congregation apply these tools and means of grace to the difficult realities we face as a community or a nation, and a nation? Whom do we need to sit with and fully hear? Today's scripture passage provides us some guidance on how to enter those conversations in a Christ-like way, as we clothe ourselves in love, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Friends, together we can continue to conference together and continue to grow in our relationships together as we move forward in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be inspired but also challenged in our faith. Lord, we are called to be and work together in community. And as hard as that can be sometimes, as difficult as it may be, the reward is endless as we truly fulfill your purpose and your calling in our lives. And we do so with others, alongside with them as they do so. And together we build the kingdom. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity and ask that you continually remind us and strengthen us so that we may continually stick to its cause. We pray this in Jesus' name.